This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 429 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's time for a little news from the parks. It's been a while since we've actually talked about what's going on in Walt Disney World, so this is the week to do it. And with me, I've got some loaded guns. First of all, we've got Melissa. Hey Melissa, how's it going?
Hey everyone, so excited to hear about some of the news coming to Disney.
Also, we have Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hey, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And for me, that's springtime. I love it. So we're going to talk a little flower and garden in a bit.
Nice. And we also have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, what's happening?
I'm just ready to see flower and garden in person.
Yeah.
Which is like 92 days away.
We all have our countdowns, and that's a super cool thing. So for tonight's show, what we're going to do is talk definitely some flower and garden, like Sam mentioned, and we're also going to take some articles off the Disney Nerds Podcast blog of current news stories going on down in the parks, and not necessarily down in Florida. We might have some stories from across the world too, so we'll see how it goes tonight. How's everybody been doing?
Outstanding. Fantastic. Outstanding. Yes.
What about you, Edward?
I've been doing really good. I have my countdown too, and I'd say it's probably about 92 days.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a lot less than that because I am going down in April for a quick trip.
Nice.
You have a countdown before the countdown.
Right.
And you have a countdown after the countdown.
It's never bad to have that.
I know it's about 3 weeks. That's about all I got.
You got four trips actually booked right now.
Nice.
It wasn't our purpose. I'm telling you. If it wasn't because they keep selling out so quickly or those fun rooms in November, I definitely wouldn't have that trip already.
It is the pent-up pandemic demand that we're all going through, Ed, and that's awesome. And
you also got to remember, Ed went down last November and purchased an annual pass.
Oh, when he could. Good for you, Ed.
So have they brought back the annual passes, the new ones? I have not heard that yet.
No,
they have not. Renewals, and there's one Florida resident pass, the bottom one, whatever that is still current. They're still currently selling.
Right.
And by the way, Ed, there is an annual pass magnet at Disney Springs. Make sure you swing by and grab that.
Hopefully it'll still be there. That's the one that you use with your phone and it changes the backgrounds and stuff like that?
There is an app that comes along with it, but it is they're also using the virtual queue to give those away, and you have to have the app opened and ready to roll. And so they're definitely controlling who gets those things, and that's fine.
So could we name the strategy of this, the virtual queuing or the virtual ordering, and name it the Figment rule or the Figment popcorn box rule?
The bucket rule.
Because that's where they figured it out. We'll call it the bucket rule, definitely. They're like, we got to do this better. And there you go. So very cool. So tonight we're going to do some news. And I think what's really great is being able to check out the blog and seeing some great news stories. Sure. Morgan's been doing an awesome job out there keeping it up to date. And the story I want to start with this week is discover the magic of our beautiful planet during Earth Week celebration at Disney's Animal Kingdom. You might all know or not that I am a STEM lab teacher, so I am really kind of, this is a topic that's near and dear, so I always like to see things like this, and this is a great article about it. At Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, come join in the fun of our annual Earth Day celebration as the park spends not just the day, but an entire week honoring our planet and how we can all come together to create a healthier home for people and wildlife. That's right, a whole week, April 18th to 24th, connecting with the magic of nature through family-friendly experiences and special offerings. And then the article goes on with some great pictures and some great things that they're going to have. And now, here's something. I'm not sure if they already have it or not, but when you get a picture taken at the Animal Kingdom, during this time, they're saying you can get pictures with Wally and Eve. That will be next to you and near you. And they show a picture of Wally holding the boot with the plant in it. So it kind of makes sense for, you know, Earth Day.
I said I would totally go there for that, just to have a picture with Wally or Eve.
You know what else is really cool? And it's not mentioned in the article anywhere, or if it was, I missed it. But Animal Kingdom opened on Earth Day in 1998. So it's its 24th birthday in addition to being Earth Day.
Wow. Oh, nice. Maybe they're suppressing that because the 50th and everything else going on.
Oh, and next year will be the 25th. So, right. That, you know, it's
which
more
is after the 50th anniversary. So that makes sense. But Jimmy, I feel like I just saw Animal Kingdom 20 posters all over the place down there.
I feel like I remember them building Expedition Everest.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh,
this
sure. Just the other day.
There was one other cool thing in that article. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but there's a special limited time Wilderness Explorer badge for Earth Day. I thought that was kind of cool because the kids love Wilderness Explorer.
Right. The Earth Day Nature Badge. So you can earn that. They also have some special treats, some flamingo cupcakes and some bee honey cupcakes and things like that.
Cupcakes.
And basically everything they have in Animal Kingdom is Earth Day. So it is a special place to go for that.
I like when they do the one-off things like that. Like Sam was talking about the little button and stuff. We were there in Walt Disney World, and we were at Animal Kingdom on September 9th of 2009. And they had special pens made just that day that was 999.
Nice.
I have
one of those.
Chipmunks on it, yeah.
999, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And you know what? I love these sort of little celebrations that are popping up everywhere, because just go back a couple of weeks, there was a week-long St. Patrick's Day celebration at Raglan Road. And, right. And although that's Disney Springs, but it's cool to see these little things pop up and reasons to get into the park. And yeah, it's all good.
We don't really need a reason to go to Raglan Road other than it's Raglan Road. And it's amazing.
It's a reason for them to say, get your reservation because you're going to need it.
Yes,
sure. But it gives us a chance to celebrate St. Patty's Day down there, too, all week long. Yeah. You can't get there that day sometimes. It makes a lot of sense.
Sure. Also, it makes sense for, like, the locals who might not be able to get there on a Thursday. But since it's a week-long celebration, they can hit it up on the weekend. I think I remember the first one. Didn't we cover the Disney H2O Glow After Hours party at Disney?
Yeah, Rachel and her family.
Rachel and Frank and Heidi went down there and covered it for us. Yep. Mm-hmm. So just in time for the summer season, a new H2O Glow After Hours is coming to Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. The luminous After Hours event returns to the Tropical Oasis Memorial Day weekend with new elements that are sure to glow up your Walt Disney World vacation this summer.
Awesome.
Now more special events. Love it.
Well, they're always great to have. And actually, we got to try to find our way over there. But it's funny, I have to have a little confession here. I was kind of breezing through articles earlier, and I breezed through that one quickly. I didn't read it as the update for the water park. I read it more so that they had a lot of new glow drinks around the parks with the glow cubes.
Yeah, they call them the iridescent 50th anniversary thing. So, yes, they do.
So it'll have the after hours party. It says it'll have unique, vibrant decor, high energy DJ dance parties, exclusive glow theme menu offerings. So it will have some glow theme menu offerings. And imagine your favorite watery attractions glowing under the stars with shorter wait times and more time to enjoy. So that's pretty cool. I like the idea of them doing those nighttime events in a water park.
And
it's like a totally different park, right? Like when you're in a place like that in at night in the dark, the ride feels a little bit more thrilling. Sort of like when Space Mountain, the lights are on versus being off. You have the different light shows and then even different activities and drinks. So for whether you're a local or someone who's been to that park many times, this is a different experience for you.
Like a lot of the other after hours party, you'll get a glowing wristband that you can get popcorn and select ice cream treats throughout the evening.
Nice.
A glowing wristband as far as a magic band wristband or just a
glowing wristband. So I would say it's a throwaway thing. But the ice cream is great. I've seen Sam in an after hours party and that guy can put down some ice cream, let me tell you.
Mickey bars, baby. Come on, they don't count.
Oh, at Disney World, it's easy to do that. Real quick question. So this is a separate pay event?
This is a hard ticket event.
Okay.
So it's an after hours party.
Yeah. Which that you're getting the food, you're getting the party, the DJ, access to the park. It's yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure. And I remember our friends going to it, and I thought it was a pretty cool scene because it was a lot of lights. Very decorative, very, very fun looking.
What are the hours on that? What does it go till, Jimmy? Does it say there?
It takes place between 8 to 11 every Saturday night. Every Saturday night from May 28th to August 27th.
Okay.
But with the hard ticket, you can enter as early as 6. So the party doesn't start till 8, but you can get in at 6.
Saturday night.
That's kind of an interesting, you know, young adult crowd, that those teens that are coming down over the summer, locals who are looking for something to do. But, you know.
Absolutely. If you were there on a family vacation and your kids are 16, 17 years old, what a great little treat to get the tickets for that and let them have a good time.
I agree.
Sure. Especially since they can get a bus there and back.
Yeah. And me and Sam just hanging out at the ice cream place and he get Mickey bars and I'll get Mickey ice cream sandwiches.
Either way. I like the ice cream sandwiches too. Don't get me wrong.
You got to flip back between the ice cream and then
I'm good with that.
You go salty, then sweet, and you go back to the top. You just keep going back and forth.
And then you ride on a water slide and feel really good.
the wave pool's there too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
That's the only thing that I hadn't been to Blizzard Beach. I went to Typhoon Lagoon once a long time ago when they still had the shark reef that you could snorkel over, which was amazing. I don't know why they got rid of that.
It was freezing cold.
That water was cold. apparently those reef fish are cold water animals. Well, that thing was freezing cold.
Yes. Never got to go in that. That's cool.
Well, I have one, Ed. So Morgan was scrolling through Facebook today actually, and notice on Vera Bradley's website. So for anyone who doesn't know, Vera Bradley is a fabric maker who does a lot of the interesting designs and colorful patterns and purses, backpacks, lunchboxes, backpacks, suitcases, blankets, you name it, she makes it, and has had a longtime partnership with Disney. Typically has at least one or two Disney patterns and other IP outside of Disney. There's a store at Disney Springs. So on the website or on their Facebook page today, there was an announcement that Star Wars is coming soon. And she went ahead and clicked on the link and was able to get a little preview of the potential patterns. Now, we don't know what they look like. We don't know when they're going to come out. But the sample at least alludes that we're going to see Chewbacca, R2-D2, and C-3PO.
Nice.
You can go ahead to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com and click on the link, and you'll be able to go into Vera Bradley's page and sign up for email notifications to find out when the patterns are going to be released and find out more information. So if you are a Star Wars fan and a Vera Bradley fan, you definitely want to check this out.
Melissa, are you a Vera Bradley fan?
I do have quite a couple, a lunchbox. I have two purses and a wallet. So yeah, I actually am.
Because it's very like a very distinct patterns that she does. Like her stuff looks like, I wouldn't say all the same, but all very, I don't know. She has her own style, let's say, like almost like, like Mary Blair has her style. As you see stuff that, like, even though it's not Disney, you might say, well, that's kind of, a lot of the stuff you see, it's just very, it's very busy, I would say.
That's right. A lot of paisleys and florals, bright colors, and it's seasonal, right? So during the fall, you'll have more of those fall tones, spring, more of the pastels and things like that. So there, if you see it and you see a pattern that you like, you better buy it. And pattern placement is important for many people as well.
But I think that's so interesting because the partnership with Disney, like they didn't just sell out to make Disney stuff and call it Vera Bradley. It's still very distinctly Vera Bradley. They just take the Disney style and incorporate it into her patterns, right?
Correct. There'll be, you know, hidden Mickeys or hidden Minis or, you know, whatever the pattern is. They have Harry Potter themes going on with that partnership. I've actually, one of my lunch boxes is flamingos. So it's like a navy background with bright pink flamingos. And it's one of the soccer teams in my area. So she will partner with a lot of people.
Awesome. What kind of price frame are we talking about? Not exact price, but is it like a mid-range bag? Is it expensive or is it super expensive?
You can find, so her pattern will be then made onto many different products. So anything from a small glasses case that you can get for, you know, 10, 12 bucks maybe, all the way up to like a huge suitcase, duffel bag, big, you know, queen size blanket, you know, might run you closer to 100 or something. They are a great partner for military and veterans. They give discounts in their stores on top of their sale prices. And if you are near an outlet location, they usually have pretty good deals as well. So
they're not over the price.
No,
over the top price like the Dooney and Burks, or, you know, the Dooney and Burks are fairly.
Right. And that's what I was getting at, is like, where does this stand on that whole Gucci, Dooney and Burks?
Like, I would say, I mean, those probably close to the same price point as like the Loungeflies.
Okay.
I mean, what, a standard size bag is probably 40 or 50 bucks.
Yeah, probably.
A handbag.
Yeah. Very nice. So some news from across the seas is next. And as we all know, Disneyland Paris is celebrating their 30th anniversary, which is kind of hidden with the 50th going on for us on this side. However, and this is from the Disney Nerds podcast blog also, Disneyland Paris announces multi-year transformation plan for Disney Village. In the midst of the 30th anniversary at Disneyland Paris, the resort-wide transformation continues, along with the Walt Disney Studios Park expansion plan and the Disneyland Hotel Royal transformation. Disney Village will see its own transformation over several years, including new dining options and refreshed shopping and entertainment offerings. Disneyland Paris is sharing a first look at what to expect in the future for this 42,800 square foot complex. So it sounds like it's going to be more enclosed than it is now. So Disneyland Paris, this Disney Village they're talking about, is kind of like their downtown Disney. And when you stay at their hotels, you basically can walk from their hotels or take the bus. But when you walk, you'll walk through Disney Village, and then you get to decide if you're going to go to one or the other park.
So just like Disneyland?
It's almost spot on at as far as Disneyland goes. I think you would think of Disney Village being on the other side of where downtown Disney is, Disneyland. Is that what they still call it over there?
Yeah.
Yes. But basically the same idea. It's all on the same level. It's all very close to each other. And this is the main area where you get the train from Paris or from wherever that gets to Disneyland Paris. And that's very similar to that high-speed rail line that they're going to be putting from the Orlando airport to Walt Disney World, which is going to be going to downtown Disney, I think they're saying now, which is perfect because then you take a bus from there to wherever you're going to go. In Paris, you could take the bus, and we did actually, which we didn't have to. We could have walked to our hotel from where it was. We were pretty close. But this is cool news. I mean, there are different things they talk about here is different hotel, I mean, different restaurants and things like that. They're going to modernize it. It definitely was getting a little of an old look to it, and I've only been there once. So I kind of understand that. They had a 50s-based restaurant. They had a rodeo-based show type of restaurant also. So this is definitely some good news. It might get us back over there in a couple of years. Who knows?
Are the resorts at Disneyland Paris all deluxe or, you know, that kind of price point? Or are there a couple that are more the moderate and deluxe?
If I remember right, I think there was a moderate ish and the deluxes,
and this one is a deluxe.
Yeah, well, this is the Disney Village, meaning it's the downtown Disney area. So it's just restaurants and stores and things like that that are all grouped together that are between the hotels and the parks.
Oh, it's just the downtown area. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's kind of funny you said that. The less expensive hotels were further away from the park. Like, you couldn't see the park from them. And the bus ride, I understood, was a little bit more extensive. We didn't realize that where they were going to be located when we came in there, so we lucked out. But it's great to see that Disney isn't just concentrating on the United States. This is going on across the world. And as we're talking across the world, I think I just read that Shanghai is now shut down. Shanghai Disney is now shut down because of the new COVID pandemic going on in China. Another wave is going through there pretty seriously right now. So I haven't heard how long they're doing it for, or if it's just a temporary thing. Obviously, it's temporary, but we're not sure for how long yet. So
that's too bad. Hopefully, all the cast members are safe and they'll be able to reopen soon.
Yeah. So we will see. We will see.
Thanks, Ed. So I started with the most wonderful time of the year. And I believe that because to me and any Northerner, so I'm speaking for myself and Ed and Melissa, Jimmy maybe, but when you take a trip down to Walt Disney World in late March, early April, or even into May, you get to see the Flower and Garden Festival, the festival blooms, all of the flowers, the topiaries, and then you come back home and sometimes you're brushing snow off of your car, sometimes you're not, but it's such spring fever, and I love going to Flower and Garden Festival. I love it. I think it's the best time of the year to be at Epcot. My opinion.
Oh, yeah. I agree. It's the first place I saw a butterfly tent. So I got to say, that was a definite discovery.
And Bambi's Butterfly House is back. And in fact, if you look at the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, it kicked off back on March the 2nd and runs through and includes the 4th of July, which makes this over 125 days, the longest Flower and Garden Festival ever. And by the way, this is not a taste of the Flower and Garden Festival. This is the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. So it's awesome that we're through past this taste of stuff. How cool is that?
That is very cool. So now, Flower and Garden, I always thought of being a spring show. Not anymore. This is a spring/summer show.
It's a spring. Yeah, they go right to. I was very surprised that it includes the 4th of July. I figured it would close before the big holiday crowds, but it.
Why not just give them something extra to do for the holiday and then get ready for food and wine, which is starting in July? I got to imagine again this year.
Probably in the middle of July someplace, right? They did do some interesting things here. Of course, the mainstays are there again. The topiaries, the Garden Rocks concerts are back. We'll talk about those in a second. The outdoor kitchens, the gardens, the shopping experience, and of course, scavenger hunts. So all of that stuff's back again this year. In a big way. In fact, from a garden point of view, there are 22 festival gardens all around Epcot. Kind of cool.
Much so. Do those like have vegetables, or are they just flower gardens? Or
so it's sort of interesting, and they've done a good job of theming these, as they always have. And by the way, as you go into Epcot, it's, you know, check out all this cool stuff that we have, but never mind that big green area right behind Spaceship Earth. Don't worry about that. Everything's around it and other places. But it is clear that everything's labeled now. It's World Discovery, World Celebration, World Nature. Those are your locations. They've moved some booths up to the front. In fact, your first food booth now is around Test Track, which is a legitimate food booth, as opposed to just that donut box. They now have some other things along the way there. Mm-hmm. From a garden point of view, of course, the festival blooms are part of that. There's a new fragrance garden. They have a prehistoric plant garden over near Space, which I think is pretty cool. The bamboo garden, an alpine garden. And then it's kind of your point, Ed, the Garden Italiano is in Italy. That's your herbs and spices. There's the spice garden in Morocco. There's a new France bouquet garden, which is a lot of flowers. The Shakespeare and the tea garden in the United Kingdom. So it keeps going and going, including Bambi's Butterfly House.
If my count is correct, there are 23 topiaries this year.
There are a lot of topiaries. No necessarily new ones, but some reimagined topiaries. And that was the big push.
Recently posted on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page a question of all of the Epcot festivals, which is your favorite?
Ooh.
And John Big Fat Panda answered. I thought he had a great answer. And he said his answer was Flower and Garden. He said because that's when Epcot looks its best. And that's hard to argue with.
Yeah, very true.
I agree.
Arts Festival is probably my favorite for different reasons, but for that reason alone, I agree. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it is truly beautiful. It's breathtaking.
Yeah, agree.
One of the first images that came into my mind is, imagine this, in front of the Imagination Pavilion, when the monorail goes over that little lake there, that water area, they have that big expanse of grass. Well, for Flower and Garden, they put an incredible flower mural there that is made of living flowers that are usually actually like big flowers, and the entire thing is decorated very coolly. So yes,
around the festival blooms, they
do a lot of art.
All the way around that big lake that goes all the way to the Odyssey. I mean, that whole thing is just full of
both sides of that. They call the festival blooms, and in fact, this year there's a big 50 right in the middle of them, which that's incredible. Is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I was able to ask one of the horticulturists how this whole thing works. I didn't realize this, but they change those flowers out 3 times during the festival.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like they always are changing them, and by the time they're done, they've rotated 3 sets of flowers through. It's amazing.
They might still be in the pots too, like the meaning they have a lot of green foliage, and then they have the flower on top, the color, and then easy to change them in and out.
I just thought it was amazing, and in fact, there are different types of flowers as the festival gets into the hotter months of summer. They have things that are the same color, but they're more tolerant to the heat of the sun. I just thought, holy cow! It's amazing that the thought that goes into that, and how we just take it for granted. Yeah, it's pretty. It looks cool. Look, there's a 50 in it. It looks like Mickey over here. That's really nice. It goes all the way around. But there's so much work that goes into it. It's really amazing.
I think that would be an interesting behind the scenes tour, but behind the flower tour.
Yes.
Right. Like, I wonder if there's almost a grid underneath the AstroTurf that, to Ed's point, you have little spots you could plunk plants in and click and add things to make shapes. And then you just plop your plant pots in and then fill in with some filler or whatever. And
water the heck out of them.
Right, and just water the heck out of it underneath or something. And when you need to pop one out, you're able to pop one out because a bunny came and ate it or something. And
you move those platforms out, and those platforms are marked with the colors or the type of plants that you're going to have.
I'm sure there's got to be maps, man.
I think another huge, huge thing this year, and it started with the Arts Festival with the Broadway singers, but this year they're brought back to Garden Rocks concert lineup with like some actual acts. I know our friend Rachel went the other night. She said she commented in the post and said she's kind of showing her age, but her husband got a room at Old Key West and they went to Epcot and saw Kool & the Gang.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so
that's great.
There's a lot of awesome like concerts back again, and I'm so excited to find out who is going to be there for Eat to the Beat when we're there for the meetups. And
that will be cool. Now, the what they've done for Garden Rocks this year, it is 7 days a week, which is really cool. They have the national acts, or the big bands, I guess would say, are there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with local artists there Monday through Thursday. So that's, and they're good. Trust me, Orlando's full of talent, right? So there's a ton of really good bands down there.
Yeah, for sure.
But that was cool that they're there 7 days a week. So there's always a concert happening, including the 4th of July. I asked that specifically, but yes, there is a local band playing on the 4th of July, leading right up into the 4th of July Harmonious, which nobody knows if there will be any special tag or anything. I don't know. I'm hoping for one, but
we'll see. That'll actually tell us a lot, too, if there is or not, as far as being able to kind of do those differences. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. As far as topiaries go, to Jimmy's point, there are over 100 topiaries in those locations. No new ones, but there are some returning favorites that have been quote unquote reimagined, including Snow White and the Seven Dwarves are back in Germany. And they look remarkable. If you haven't seen any pictures of those, you'll find them out on the Disney Nerds podcast. They look amazing. They also brought back Lumiere and Cogsworth, who had been missing for a couple of years. Kermit and Miss Piggy look great over in Italy. And of course, Remy has been there for quite some time. There are a lot of topiaries all over, including the front. So the Goofy in the front is 14 feet tall, holding a big 50th anniversary birthday cake.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Cool. I love when these topiaries move, meaning they'll actually move out of the park sometimes, too. I've seen things at Hollywood Studios that had started at Epcot or vice versa.
I was going to say, I first saw the Sorcerer Mickey with the brooms at Hollywood Studios in the early 2000s.
Yep, that's what I was thinking of.
Over the course of the summer. Yep.
Remember exactly where he was. And you also find them at springs sometimes. You'll see a topiary here or there, which is kind of cool when you come around the corner.
Yep.
So I just wanted to jump back to the Eat with the Beat or the Garden Rocks concerts. And then they do have the dining packages coming back as well, which is exciting. But I'm actually really surprised by this lineup. You know, it's a really nice mix of some of the classic, you know, bands. You've got singers from Boston, you know, Don Felder, formerly from the Eagles. But then you have some, you know, bands from maybe that millennial generation. You've got Simple Plan, you have Plain White Tees coming back. So it's not your Flower and Garden, which was, wasn't it like 60s theme?
It used to be the Flower Power concert.
Yes, the Flower Power.
And so it was all 60s music.
Right. That's kind of moving away from that and making it a more eclectic blend of different bands.
It's a good blend.
Which is nice.
It's a good blend.
The weekend we're going to be there, the band War will be on stage.
Then, interestingly enough, Daughtry will be the 26th and the 27th.
Very nice.
So me and Ed, the night of the meetup will be War, but then the next two nights will be Daughtry.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Now, if I were to pick, I'd be picking the Little River Band out of that lineup, by the way.
Sure.
There's some cool stuff.
Oh, I'd love to hear those guys.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed
Lonesome Loser.
Plain White Tees played one year for one of our meetups. Plain White Tees was playing at the Eat to the Beat, and they were pretty good.
Yeah, I do. I remember that. I do. And of course, we have the Outdoor Kitchens are all over the place. Here's something interesting that I found because of the length of this festival, specifically the Farmer's Feast, one of the outdoor kitchens. The menu is changing throughout the festival. And they're also doing some interesting things with merchandise, too, by introducing things throughout the festival. So for the kitchen, it starts with the early bloom menu, then it switches to a springtime menu, then it switches to a summer solstice menu. So there you go, Ed. There's a summertime menu included here. But it's a way for them to switch things up, I guess, to keep people interested in coming back.
Well, if you're a local, that's fantastic.
A lot of their clientele is local, so that's it's a great strategy.
It is. Just swap the menu.
I can see a small percentage of us being kind of PO'd because we saw how great that was in May, and that's not going to be there now in June. So
that's how you just keep finding yourself having more trips, Ed.
That's it.
Next year you need to put around that one food item.
Do you think the festival center, or they will have a festival center for this?
So there is no festival center per se right now. The merchandise is spread all over. And when I say all over, it's sort of concentrated towards the front of World Showcase in that World Traders, the two shops that are right in the very front. Because really it's food booths all the way around.
One of those usually has whatever things going on. It's pretty stocked up with stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Lately, they've also had some tents that had some festival merchandise.
Not as many, which was surprising, but
one
some.
Kiosk. Was there not merchandise in that kiosk kind of right past the little African outpost? Usually they got there's usually a little kiosk right there that has.
On the water side.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Exactly. So, the big wide open tent like thing.
Yes.
There are some, but a lot of those kiosks aren't necessarily festival merchandise. It's like this one's bamboo plants. The next one is some other type of, I don't know if it's a vendor, but it almost has a Festival of Arts type feel to it, Jimmy. because this is all this one type of merchandise.
Is World Showplace open?
World Showplace was not opened when I was there. There was nothing happening in there.
Because usually they have, well, for Food and Wine, they usually have merchandise in there. They usually have one area for merchandise. And then they also have some booths and usually like some entertainment, like Miss Carol will be playing in there or something like
that. She was back in the United Kingdom.
In United Kingdom.
She was out playing. The Rocking Jammeters are part of entertainment. They made sure they brought out the Rocking Gardeners, are considered part of entertainment.
Is that on the stage in Canada?
No, they are near Imagination. Okay. On the stage in Canada, Alberta Bound is back. So there are some other, there is some other entertainment returning. Awesome. The drummers are back in Japan. The mime is back in Italy. So there's some things happening there, which are good.
Very cool. Things are coming back all the way around. It's awesome to hear.
Lots of merchandise too. In fact, their merchandise collections, they break it down to the Orange Bird was big, including an Orange Bird sipper cup that I thought looked cooler than Figment, to be honest with you, but readily available.
Whoa.
It was. The Figment doesn't look... The Figment popcorn bucket's awesome, and I want one, don't get me wrong, but if you look at it again, it's like, yeah, it's a stretch that that's Figment. It looks kind of big to get all that popcorn in, but it's okay.
Speaking of merch, Sam, there's someone called Spike.
Spike the bee, yes.
He's a bee. Is he new this year?
He's not. So Spike has been part of the pollination collection scavenger hunt. Spike the Bee is actually from, I think it was a 1942 Donald Duck cartoon, and they brought him back in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So
you remember
the
short
kids know Spike the Bee.
Where out in the woods, they had these little honey huts, and Donald was collecting honey, and the bee finally figured that out, and he wanted his cut. And Donald was he was keeping him out, and he was trying to get in any way possible.
It's really an old short, absolutely. And they brought it back for kids, and it's so the scavenger hunt for kids for a few years now has been Spike's pollination exploration. Yeah. And he's in those gardens, by the way, the gardens that we talked about that are all over. That's where you'll find Spike the bee looking for his different things to pollinate.
And then
he's definitely made a presence because he has his own apparel, drinkware.
He's one of the lines.
He's featured in, he's sort of like the Figment of Food and Wine. But
Between him and Orangebird, I completely agree. And it's been back and forth on who, because if you look at the five merchandise lines, it's the Orangebird, it's Spike the Bee, it's Mickey's Home Garden, which is all stuff for the house, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse Garden, and Figment's Garden coming soon. So there's really three original characters there. Not that Spike is original, but it's Orangebird, Spike, and Figment, and they're all over merchandise.
And in addition to the Spike pollination exploration for a limited time, they will also do the one with the eggs. The egg extravaganza. So I guess that's going to be centered just strictly around Easter.
I think it's when it starts just before Easter and while supplies last.
Yeah.
We had seen it one time where it was just a big grass area outside Interventions. It was actually behind on the way to Mission Space, where it was netted in a grass area and they just had eggs everywhere that you would just go in there and look for and find them.
What they do now is rural.
They hide them.
They hide the big eggs somewhere in the country.
Be on the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
So during the time that that's there, will the Spike's pollination exploration be there as well?
Or they run as well because Spike is in the gardens.
At the same time.
They run at the same time, yeah.
I didn't know if they replaced Spike for a little bit during that limited time.
Yeah, they run them. Because Spike's just, what is it, $8.99, and you can get your completer thing right there.
We're going to have to do one of those. We're going to do one of those this year.
There's also the Garden Graze that you guys can do, which is the purchase five food items, which includes a corn on the cob, coconut leches, potato pancakes, grilled baby vegetables, and avocado toast. And after you do all that healthy stuff, then you get to get your completer, which is a Dole Whip over at the Pineapple Promenade. So
nice.
That's kind of cool. So buy five, get one free, and you also get a packet of seeds.
We should do our own, I guess, but
with drinks.
We'll come up with it.
There were quite a few. I sampled. There was nothing there I didn't like. I loved the salmon. I thought it was awesome. They also had the boil is back in America, which isn't as good as it was previously. It looks big, but it's a lot of corn and potatoes, not that many. There's maybe one crawfish in there, Jimmy, and some shrimp.
Just jumping back a little bit to the to the little, what did you call it? The garden greys.
Yes.
It looks like, because I'm on Disney Food Blog, and the little completer prize, which is the Dole Whip, comes in like a Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, like wine cup.
It's a souvenir too. That's a totally cool story.
And it's got this cool little 50th anniversary yellow, and I'll share my screen for you guys to see it. But it's got like this also like a little yellow, probably like chocolate medallion or something, but it's kind of looks like it's Tangled themed.
Very cool.
It's got like the little 50, but it's got like the flower. I don't know. Maybe it's not Tangled, but it kind of looks through the purple and yellow.
No, it looks cool. It I don't know if it's cookie.
It's a little smaller, like a palm glass. I've seen these before. It's almost like, the stemless
wine glass. Wine glass. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, yeah. That's cool.
So that's cool. That's cooler than just a regular Dole Whip and a regular cup, you know?
Great. And it's printed on it has the text International Flower Garden Festival. It's got flowers on it. It's a very, very decorative cup or glass. So at very close to souvenir. I would that was worth it, right, for just that.
Yeah, one time during Food and Wine, some of the like the craft beer booth used to have the Food and Wine the souvenir mugs, and they still sell them like in Germany, but it's the same one every year. But for Food and Wine, they had one that was specific for that year. I wish they
pint glass. I love those. I was had a collection of those.
Yeah,
in fact, I even had my hoodie when I was down there. It was Beers Around the World from 2013, and it was a great hoodie, and they just,
So I'm going to maybe disrupt your plan, Ed, in that you definitely need to consider doing Spike's Pollination Exploration.
Yes.
Because as the prize, you actually get a set of matching plates, and there is a Spike the Bee, a Figment, an Orange Bird, or a Minnie Mouse.
That sounds like an awesome way to go.
You can also purchase them if you're an annual pass holder, it looks like. Yeah.
So how much are they? The same cost of the
cost of it?
Yeah.
So here's the good news. Ed is going down with Hope, and I'm going down with Kim. So we'll Billy each get one of those.
Yeah, just buy all four of them. Cups they had last year. So here's that. I was there the first weekend, and those plates were not in yet. So your completer prize was the leftover frozen holiday plates. I couldn't even take a picture of them.
You got cheated.
I didn't do it because of that.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have, because I have they were cups last year, very similar, and I have all four of them. Just go back. I'll take four, one of each. They stamp it, and you're done. Mm-hmm.
So I think we've covered almost all the fun for kids of all ages activities. The only one that we didn't, besides Garden Greys and the Spike's Pollination Exploration, was the Healthful Trails presented by Advent Health. So did you get to see this, Sam?
Yeah, there's quite a few actually that are sponsored by something. And it's interesting that they call those out, because the Fragrance Garden is sponsored by Sensory. Outdoor Scape, which is your outdoor furniture, is sponsored by Off. The National Honey Board sponsors Honey Bistro. There's a sponsor for Bambi's Butterfly House, which isn't Go-Gurt, and I missed that. I remember coming out of the Butterfly House and getting that nice
Go-Gurt.
That's not the sponsor this year. And the Green Landing Family Play Zone had a sponsor. I forget who it was. But yes, that Health Trail is over near, it's on the Imagination side, sort of walking back. And some healthy options, as far as it's healthy options for food, which is fine. The salmon there was really good. I thought it was really good.
Very cool. One of the new things for this year that really caught my eye, and I loved it since they did this with the beacons of light, the beacons of magic on Spaceship Earth. So they're going to do festival themed beacon of magic during Flower and Garden. So I think the lights on Spaceship Earth, especially Spaceship Earth, are amazing. I mean, I literally stood there for 20 minutes and watched the whole show when we were in there in November.
You know, it's big regret from the November trip was I missed any of that. I can't remember seeing Spaceship Earth whatsoever in that like glorious new lighting fixture. So that's a major thing for me to see coming up.
I watched it for 45 minutes with my camera on a tripod. The video goes up tomorrow. And the special for Festival of Arts, it was Rainbow Connection, which was awesome.
Nice. Amazing.
To watch it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. For Flower and Garden Festival, it is Pocahontas Colors of the Wind.
Yeah.
Instrumental version. It's good. It's not as good as the Muppets, though. Come on. But it's good.
Very
the cool. One thing I was hoping to see coming back for this festival, now that we've had restrictions lifted, masks, you know, lifted, were some of the classes that they've historically offered. And Flower Garden was on the lighter side compared to Food and Wine, but they have typically had, you know, classes and things. So I was hoping to see those come back, but we don't see those on the schedule yet. Maybe something changes as we go into summer.
That gets back to earlier. I don't remember if it was Ed or Jimmy asked about the Festival Center and what's acting as it. And there really isn't one right now because for Food and Wine, they did use World Showplace, and they're not using World Showplace. There are no horticultural things that you could sign up for because they used to have those classes inside. And I know that was supposed to be part of this new World Celebration Festival Center, which isn't coming just yet from what we understand. So I don't know what the longer term plan is.
What's the big building over by the land, between the land and the Imagination Pavilion? Is that where I'm thinking the right place?
No, it's by China, Canada.
It's kind of got that same gap of like, you know, greenage and the,
it's
the
big.
Coffee stand. Right by the Joffrey's.
Both areas. Right.
Yes, right by the Joffrey's.
So is that going to be open again? I mean, do we know?
Or it was not part of, there's nothing listed in for Flower and Garden. There's nothing listed for it.
So barely open. I'm assuming that is just rented space all the time for expos or weddings.
Well, last year we went through there. That's the only reason I said that I guess it was the beginning of Food and Wine that was open.
They had some things in there for Food and Wine, like Jimmy said. They also had some things inside Canada. They had the Appleseed Orchard in there, but the Canada movie is playing again.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's nothing going on in there either. I went back there on purpose to see, and the movie's playing, which is fine.
Yep.
I ran into one other thing that I saw there for the first time, and it was kids related, and it's scavenger hunt related. And it was over at the Seas with Nemo. I found a booklet that looks a lot like your festival passports, but it's basically a scavenger hunt for kids with stickers inside of the Seas with Nemo. And I'd never seen that before. And I thought it was really cool. So something to know about if you have kids down there. And it also has a link on the back, which I've never visited before, DisneyAnimals.com. Which takes you to a website which shows you everywhere in Walt Disney World where you can see animals and what animals you can see.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen that before, but if you go to Disney Animals right now, DisneyAnimals.com, it's a redirect to WaltDisneyWorld.com, and you can see tigers here, you can see elephants here, you can see clownfish here, you can see, and it's all the parks and where you can see animals. I thought that was cool.
Very cool.
It was cool.
Very nice.
And of course, Epcot Fresh is the location for all the flower and garden stuff. And by the way, a big thing they're pushing merchandise-wise is shopdisney.com. You can find flower and garden merchandise there. Super interesting. You can't use your annual pass there, but you can find the merchandise there.
At least you can check out what's going to be found, what you can get.
Right.
Okay, guys. So now Sam mentioned earlier things that are coming back. Well, one of the things we're going to talk about coming back that we haven't talked about yet, and it was kind of amazing that we even found this. She found this TikTok video that the Disney Parks people put out today that showed a really cool video of a small little mini car. Remember the minivans or the mini cars they used to have that you could rent like an Uber or you rented through Lyft? Well, they show a little Matchbox version of it in the TikTok. Somebody's watering it. The next thing you know, it's a full-size version of the minivan or the mini car, and it's roaring away. And you see the explanation of, like, we're back. So the mini cars, the minivans, that whole transportation system is coming back.
I am so happy to hear this news. Yeah. As someone who has a little one who needs a car seat, and I don't want to travel with a car seat, right? I don't want to rent a car if I'm on property. but maybe it's late or I have a really early reservation and I want to get a ride, having those minivans that have the car seats in them is a lifesaver. And they play Disney music. It's cast members. They're very friendly. Not saying that any of my Lyft or Uber drivers aren't, but it's just it's that connected Disney experience end to end. You don't feel taken out of the parks, and the car seat thing is a huge deal. So,
and not only do they play Disney music, they'll play any Disney.
They have all.
They have all the Disney music. We were there in July, and we were there with Lisa and Angela, and Angela wants to listen to Disney Christmas music the whole time.
Christmas in July, why not?
Yeah, very cool.
But since she had access to it, yeah, can you play this? And yep, they have it. It's on a little stick. I almost grabbed the little stick out of there and ran with it, but figured I'd get in trouble for that.
Right. So we're looking for the more announcements of when it's going to start again and things like that, pricing and such, and we're looking forward to it big time. So they run the same rules as Uber and Lyft, correct? Where you do everything through the phone and
it's through Lyft.
Quote unquote tipping involved and it's all on the phone.
There is tipping involved.
Okay.
There is tipping involved. You can't
through Lyft.
Okay. Very
through the Lyft app.
Yeah.
I got one other interesting thing or experience that I had on this last trip. I think it was the first trip, in a long time that I did not use the Magic Band. Because my Apple Watch has everything in it. You have set up the My Disney Mobile Pass. My annual pass is in my wallet, and my watch works just like a Magic Band. I tap it to get in, press my finger, and it was weird to not have a Magic Band on. But it was also
Did you have the Magic Band on you, though?
In my backpack. I never wore it. But along the same lines, I mean, your annual pass does work to just hold your annual pass against the turnstile, and that'll let you in.
The card works also. I did not know.
The card does work. Yeah, there's RFID inside the cards.
Yep, because if you have an annual pass like you do now, Ed, you can use that as your Magic. I mean, it's a little bit of a pain in the butt because you got to keep going in your wallet for it.
Right.
Which was why if you have an Apple Watch, you just go into My Disney Experience, you set up the mobile Magic, and it's on your watch.
I mean, back in my day, we had to have a card on a lanyard and get it out.
Exactly.
By the way, back in my day, you had a card that they stamped with a little stamp.
I remember that.
They put the date on it.
How many days we got?
I got to tell you, back in my day, they had to rip the ticket out of the book.
There we go. There we go. We need another book, Dad. Could I have the ticket? That's funny. But it was just interesting because I'm like, wow, things are sort of changing.
Mm-hmm.
You can even pay with it. You could do it. It was just like, except it wasn't my watch. And how many times I would think that because I had a watch on one hand and a Magic Band on the other. And now they've come together and it shows you that the technology's there.
Right. Well, they have it. The phones have been doing it for the last year or so.
They have.
The watch is just next progression.
I will say my phone has not worked consistently enough to open the door to the hotel room that I completely trust it.
I did not have an issue loading our tickets into my watch, and I have a watch from 2017. So, and I was able to load my ticket and my son's ticket on my watch and my phone. It's in the wallet app.
Yep.
And it's just right there.
Exactly where it goes.
Now I get a fight with it. I was going to get a 50th anniversary Magic
Band. You can still do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to wait for this new Magic Band thing that they have coming that's supposed to do all this other cool stuff.
Right.
But until then, it's just that Disney Magic Mobile is where you go, right in the app.
Right.
And you get to even pick your annual pass. And in fact, I did that at checkout to prove I was an annual pass holder, is to scan the Magic Band. And even if you look at the app, they'll click on the couple of dots. It says what your affiliations are, and it shows annual pass holder, DVC member.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It's like, okay, it works. And then I asked them when the Tables in Wonderland was coming back, and nobody had a good answer for me. So
sure,
just wait and see.
I don't see it coming back until they bring Dining Plan back.
I would agree. I would agree.
Because I think the issue is like there's no reason to they're so short staffed and they don't have the capacity that there's no reason to incentivize anybody dining.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I did get some information on another interesting thing that ties back to that, Jimmy. Part of what's going on for the Galactic Star Cruiser for your excursion day to Batuu, lunch is included. And the way that they're doing it is on your device, in your app, you get a quote unquote dining credit that can be used for lunch anywhere in Hollywood Studios. And I immediately thought that's setting up for the dining plan being integrated in.
So, Hollywood Studios. Not Galaxy's Edge?
No, you can go anywhere in Hollywood Studios with that. You can go to Toy Story Land if you want. You can go.
So it's not as restrictive as I thought. I guess
it's not restrictive. When you get off at 2, you get off at 2, you have adventures that you're supposed to do to be part of it. But if you want to go ride Rock and Roller Coaster, you can. Right. And if you want to eat at
I never thought of that being part of your 2 days, though.
But I would not do that myself.
Yeah, when you're dropping that kind of cash, you really want to just stick to the program, you know what I mean?
But I guess my point, Jimmy, is if there's dining credit that's built into the app, they're working on it. That's ready to go for the dining plan. So now if you were to buy a week vacation and get a dining plan, you get 7 credits for dinner, 7 credits for lunch per person. That's kind of cool if it's integrated.
Build it right in the app.
That's where it should be, right?
Nice.
Then pretty there's cool. No question, how many credits do I have left? How many snacks do I need?
Yep.
It's right in there.
For sure.
I love it.
Okay, guys. So there's a lot of news going on down in the parks. There's a lot of new things happening, and there's a lot of things we want to experience coming up. What do you think? Let us know. Send us an email. Send us a text. Get in touch with us on the Facebook pages. Jimmy, how can anybody get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast, and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 429 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thank you so much for being with us this week. Without you listeners, this would not be a fun thing at all. For Jimmy, for Sam, for Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Who would like to join our jamboree? There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.